Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joe Pappalardo, who is the author of Spaceport Earth, The Reinvention of Spaceflight, and the author of National Geographic Profile of Starship at Starbase, Boca Chica, Texas, the decision by the FAA, and now Florida. Florida welcomes Starship. What needs to be done? It has Cape Canaveral. It has the ability to clear large launches, because this is where the Apollo program lived once upon a time. What needs to be done to prepare Florida for the cycle of launches Elon Musk dreams about? And by that, I mean every 2 years when Mars and Earth get close together, Elon Musk wants to do 1,000 launches. So what do they need at Florida, Joe?
Well, primarily they need a place where they can launch at a rapid cadence. Well, all right. So from a regulatory standpoint, again, you know, the most mundane part of this is actually the most important. All that environmental work has been already been permitted there. So the thing that's binding them up in Texas has been already achieved in Florida. Their problems in Florida are more of an engineering kind of engineering challenge for them, making sure that the launch pad is hardened enough to take the larger number of rocket engines, you know, stuff like that. Those are SpaceX challenges. They're good at solving those. The paperwork thing is really buying them up. So what they need is for the neighbors at Cape Canaveral to be tolerant of them trying to land a rocket booster on the same launch pad where it launched from. And furthermore, if it's pad 39A, it's the same launch pad that it's the only launch pad currently where Dragon, which is a SpaceX capsule, launches crew and cargo to the International Space Station. So that's like a national asset, and they want to land booster rockets on the same thing. If there's one of these explosions or a crash or something goes wrong, the United States of America might lose their launch capability to the space station. That's not a good time to do that, because the only other ride currently is the Soyuz. So Russia owned and operated Soyuz. So there you go. And Starliner, which is Boeing's answer, is coming online as well. So there'll be a little redundancy. But the point is that Cape Canaveral has to learn how to be tolerant of risk in a way that they're not really known for. And, you know, there's national security assets down there, launch pads that are right next door. You can't just be flying boosters around and blowing them up. So that leaves Starbase as the place to fly boosters and blow them up, which doesn't really make people down here all that happy either.
All right, so R&D means disaggregating. Are they moving Star Factory to Florida, or are they going to ship out of Texas?
Yeah, there's a Star Factory in both being built. There are assembly tents in both places where they make the Starship and Super Heavy boosters in both places, and permanent Star Factories in both places. So Elon's really keeping those options open, and he's got, you know, the company has the capital to create facilities in both places, and that suits his, you know, wildest dreams. The Starbase is now tied to Elon Musk's colonization scheme more than ever, because there'll never be operational launches here unless enough ships need to leave the planet to actually get those huge flotillas every 2 years that you're talking about and shoot them to Mars.
Well, so, also, Joe, we have frequent elections. Things happen.
Well, there is that too. The change of winds are never good. And one thing about SpaceX, they are very fleet of foot, as you mentioned. They love to have options. They have offshore oil rigs that they're trying to convert into
spaceports. The floating spaceport. You name two rigs, I believe they're in the Gulf now, Phobos and Deimos. That might be Musk's idea of a joke to name them for the moons of Mars. They're going to take off and land on rigs. That's their plan?
That is a plan. And there are people fly over in Cessnas and things just to keep an eye on the work being done on the rigs. And it is being done slowly. But it is part of the matrix of launch operations that Musk envisions, that these mobile platforms could be out moving around and as needed closer to one of these production facilities to get those starships up into orbit. And that's away from land. That's away from the permitting. It's a lot more permissive on the water. Even the environmentalists will concede to that versus launching next to a natural preserve in Texas. And also you don't have to jockey for position with other launch companies like you would at the Cape. I mean, they'll say they're not at capacity, but they are getting very, very busy. So having that flexibility of launch is important to SpaceX, hence Phobos and Deimos. They're keeping all these options open, right? Texas, now, Florida, NASA, mobile sites.
NASA needs SpaceX to work, Joe. They've given them part of the Artemis landing, right? They need something that looks like Starship for a lander.
They've given them almost They've awarded them 2.9 billion dollars to develop a version of Starship that could be used as a lunar lander, the first lunar lander, no less, to deliver U.S. astronauts to the surface since Apollo, since the 70s. So it's a marquee system. It's a huge part of the plan for Artemis, and it has to work. So that's another reason that the center of gravity would be shifting towards Florida, which has been the home of NASA human spaceflight since that started. So, all eyes are on Florida, and the moonshots will be launching from there too. So, there you go. I mean, the Starship moonshots.
You mentioned Starliner quickly. Starliner is Boeing. It's the competition with Dragon to launch on a ULA, right, Joe? My memory is dim on this. A ULA rocket, ULA booster, and that's going to work with Starship at the Cape. They're going to rotate on the same pad.
The run of show is the SLS mega rocket launches the astronauts, and the capsule, the Orion capsule, brings them to the lunar orbit, where waiting for them is this gigantic Starship. So they board Starship, they take that down, land on the moon, get out, make history, get back on Starship, go back, dock up with the capsule, and then take that home.
That's the moonshot. I'm talking about back and forth to the ISS. Are they working with Are they launching astronauts Dragon from 39, and is Starliner using 39 as well?
Oh, no. They have their own pad. They definitely have their designated pad for each company at this point. They lease the launch pads from NASA, basically. And then all the construction and all the work that they do to accommodate the launches is just part of the good deal of having a commercial tenant at a spaceport. They do the work on the infrastructure to accommodate their clients.
Well, let's talk about the jobs then, because that's going to become critical over these next years. R&D at Boca Chica, does that mean the engineers stay there, or are they going back and forth between the Cape? Have they also got engineers at the Cape? Are they hiring in both places?
That's crystal ball type stuff, but it's always fun to sort of speculate, because it's within, you can imagine that SpaceX employees would surge from place to place the way they do now. And the R&D work, unless there is a new spacecraft that's coming, will be sort of intermittent. It'll surge, it'll spike, and then it'll go down again. McGregor is sort of like that. Now, McGregor has this steady cadence of testing engines before they launch. So if something like that happens down there, there may be some interesting ground testing and engine testing, that static fire testing on the ground that happens, but the flights will be few and far between. The jobs will therefore be few and far between too. There'll be surges, and then they'll retreat back to where the main action is, and that could very well be the Cape.
The calendar for this, I believe you mentioned in your National Geographic story that SpaceX thinks it can put all this together by the fall of this year. Is that correct?
Yeah, and that is the conventional wisdom too. Add a couple months to what Elon says. Late fall, October, November is the smart money for an orbital launch. And that's assuming all the testing and things go well. But SpaceX has been testing this whole time. They've been ready for this approval, and they'll be ready when the launch license is issued as well. They're always a little bit ahead of where the feds are. So that's just how their you know, de facto stance.
Joe Papa.
So yeah, and, I think November, you know, late October, November is when I'm sort of penciling it in.
All right, so Starbase for Thanksgiving. Joe Papalardo, writing in National Geographic. He's the author of a book you need to have in your library if you want to know the origins of extraterrestrial flight. Spaceport Earth, the reinvention of spaceflight. Congratulations, SpaceX, you survived the FAA. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Having MG can make cooking difficult, but over the years, I've found some really helpful tools and tips that I'm excited to share. Hi, I'm Alicia. I think cooking should always be fun, creative, and of course, delicious. These black bean burgers are hearty, full of flavor, and MG friendly. You're gonna love them.
Check out Alicia's Black Bean Burger cooking video and other recipes full of tips and tricks for managing common MG symptoms while cooking only at mg-united.com.
Ready? Let's cook.